Lift your voice with mine, Father. In the mighty name of the mighty Jesus, we stand in your stead and speak as an oracle of God. It's an awesome thing. Father, help us to speak words of life, liberty. Make our tongue the pen of a ready writer. May we receive from your bountiful hand tonight. Remove all obstructions. And I release your people, and I release that river to carry your people into a newness, into a dimension of your grace and glory. It will change our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you as you're seated tonight. Thank you, musicians. Service after service we meet. The Holy Spirit is here. And my life is blessed for the ministry of song, the choir. Tonight's no exception. I'm very sensitive to divine direction. Been praying for a long time now that the Holy Spirit would lead us in every service. We wouldn't miss Him. It's so easy to get kind of in a rut and you just sort of operate out of habit. I don't want that to happen. Each service is unique. God knows who's here. He brought you here and God's got something for you. I want you to open your heart and just receive what God has. And tonight I'm going to ask Brother Harlan to come and testify. I'm always blessed when he testifies. I thank God for the Stoner family and how God has used them to be a blessing to us down through the years. It seemed like that we've developed a friendship and a closeness, and sometimes we'll be separated for a year or two. God will bring us back together again. Being in this revival, we've got to meet some other Stoners. In fact, I can say I've never met a Stoner I didn't like. Amen. But I can read Charles' mind. He says, you haven't met some of them. Amen. I don't know that he's thinking that. But I don't know. There's lots of them all over these hills. And I just thank God for Harlan and Drenda. It's been a blessing to us. He's going to come and testify. Then we're going to minister the message that God's given us. I'm going to tell you, we're here tonight. I was in a revival, a 2 or 3 week revival in St. Louis. We preached 15 revivals at that church. We brought Brother Kilpatrick up there at an auditorium not far from that church. Some 2,000 or 3,000 people gathered together and had a tremendous celebration. The pastor was begging me to stay there for revival. And the pastor at the church, where we had 3,000 people, was begging, said, stay, we'll have a long revival. But Brother Harlan introduced me to Brother Baser. I felt divine direction to come here. And the rest is history. I thank God for divine direction, folks. Now, my son went to that church and ministered 8 weeks, and they're still in revival there. But I know that we're here in God's will, in God's time. And it's been awesome in 23 weeks what God has done. I can't get over it. I'll come out here night after night, and I'll think, well, what if nobody shows up tonight? And I'll look out, and there's a whole new crowd. Last night, 50% of the people, or maybe it was Monday night, 50%. Last night, maybe 30% of the people were new people. More than that, Charles says, and they just keep coming in. And so, folks, I tell you what, let's just let God lead. Let's let God have His way. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm telling you, divine direction's awesome. I'm being pulled right now, different directions, and I'm listening to the Lord, and I'm conversing with Pastor and Jerry. Don't want to miss God, but this revival is spreading all over the nation. I don't know if Brother Close is here tonight, but if he's here tonight, last night a gentleman from Pittsburgh, Kansas came and said there's an auditorium that'll seat 1,500 people. A lot of churches are wanting us to come up that way for a couple nights, and so I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe God wants this revival to go on the road 1 or 2 nights a week, and we can all just get together and take the revival around as well as have it here. I don't know what God has in store, but there's a place over here that sells coaches. How many knows what I'm talking about? They're not buses, they're coaches. Now, don't ever call it a bus around Crestley. You see his wife's arm? How many knows you don't ever want to call it a bus around him? It's a coach. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm telling you, we're excited about Friday night. And last night, a delegation came down. 3 pastors came down and sat with myself, Monroe, and Gary in the office there and talked about 1,000 to 1,500 people coming together. And folks, people are hungry everywhere for this revival. They're hungry. So I'm just telling you right now, let's just get in. Friday night, Bartlesville First Assembly. We just believe in God for great things to be wrought. I want you to worship the Lord as Brother Harlan testifies. Give the Lord a good hand of praise as he comes tonight. Bless you, brother. Take your liberty.
The song's going through my mind. We sang earlier, of course. He's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. And that's really true. I've shared things that God has done in my life, but I was just thinking, I want to say this, that a song that they've sang a few times here, and it's a song that I cut my teeth on, and I remember one, it's entitled, I'll Fly Away. And we were, in fact, Brother Davis was in revival up by Kansas City, and there was a man that changed some words to that, and I thought at the time, what's this guy think he's doing? You know, I thought, now that was copyrighted years and years ago, and let's don't make any changes. Now, this was before the flow, okay? But now when I hear it, I just want to get up and say, change the words, this guy was right. It was Brother Bob Johnson's church, and it was when I'll Fly Away, you know, and we sing that, just a few more weary days and then I'm going to fly away. Well, he sang it, and I like it. Just a few more exciting days, and then I'm going to fly away. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know there's trouble and trials. I could stand up and tell you a lot of woes, things that's happened to our families, and just lots of things that's happened over the last, since revival started. But I'm not going to bear my soul on that. I'm going to lift the Lord up, because God is good. And you know, in that chorus goes on, I'll fly away, oh glory. And it's when I die, hallelujah, by and by. Well, I don't plan on dying. It's when I rise to meet Jesus in the sky. I'm going to fly away. We need to remember that, okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to share just the thing the Lord's put on my mind just a few minutes ago. Drina just said, you may be sharing tonight. So anyway, some things. You know, I was thinking, we're approaching Easter. Very, very soon, Easter will be here, Good Friday, in a couple days. And yet the thing that stuck on my heart, my mind just a few minutes ago was this scripture. You know, the Bible says that after Judas departed into his own place, that they had a meeting. And on that, actually, when they were in the upper room, they had a meeting and they decided they needed to reappoint or replace Judas. And they, of course, replaced him. But you know, there was requirements. One of the requirements was that Judas, the replacement had been with Jesus since his beginning of his ministry at the baptism by John at the River Jordan, and also had to be a witness of his resurrection. You know, that's a long, long time ago, and I and you, none of us, for I know, maybe some of us have gone to Israel and have looked where Jesus was raised from the dead, but most of us have not seen that with our eyes. But I tell you what, by faith, I'm beginning to see and understand, and we are to be a witness of his resurrection. I tell you what, I don't know about you, but yet I do know that Jesus is alive. And I am a witness of his resurrection. A resurrection means a raising from the dead and to newness of life. And Jesus is alive and well today. I was thinking of a few privileges I've had of late, and I don't seek these, but the Lord just seems to be opening doors. And I ministered to a banquet to a fellowship of business, Christian businessmen recently, and on a Saturday night, a couple Saturday nights ago, and I began to share. I shared my testimony, and I said, what am I going to share? I shared my heart. And I said, all my heart is involved in is revival. So I shared about revival at the business meeting. And people were there that knew about it. And I tell you what, I'm just excited. I want to be a witness. Because I tell you what, we have something to shout about. We have something to share with the Lord Jesus Christ. And believe it or not, Jesus is alive, but Jesus himself is not going to do it. You and I are his witnesses. We're not the original 12, but we are his witnesses, and we must witness. Well, after I shared that night, and a few nights later, I come home from church, and there was a phone call, and they said, would you be on a certain radio station for an hour of talk show? And I thought, oh, wow, what's going on here? And so I did, and I'm not bragging on me tonight. I'm just saying we need to take advantages of the opportunities. And the first thing that hit my mind, Brother John, great revival. What an opportunity to broadcast revival at First Assembly in Miami. And that's basically what I did. He wanted to talk about my healing, my testimony, and I shared it a little bit at first. But by and large, the rest of the hour was spent talking about Pensacola and was spent talking about Miami First Assembly and Holy Ghost revival. And what you got to understand, this is a real learned man. He's a good man. He's a man of God, Boyce Moultrie or something like that. He's pastor of a Christian church in Carl Junction, Missouri. But I tell you what, he was open, and I shared the power of God. I shared what the Holy Ghost was doing, and that he was breaking down barriers, and that people of all denominations were coming to Pensacola and being receiving impartation, and it was carrying over into the Baptist, into the Christian, and Lutherans, and so on and so forth. And I tell you, we spent that hour, and then I got another chance to share the Lord, and then they come and, you know, and we got some advertisement, free advertisement on Channel 7, because I tell you what, I'm just excited because God is moving. And I tell you what, hallelujah, hallelujah. I've said that to say this. We must be a witness. We must not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those days are over. I was thinking, as a lady came up and shared with me here the other night, and I asked her if she would share if I'd get up this evening, and she said, I don't think I can stand in front of people, but I tell you what, there's some young people, little girls and little boys that God has placed upon our hearts, and I tell you, we pray for them about every night, and we've developed a real close kinship with them. And in so doing, we've been praying for her. Her name is Starla. I don't even know her last name, but she's come up, and we prayed for her at various times, and her mother came up to me excited just a couple nights ago and said, Brother Hardin, I thought you'd like to know this, that Starla, she had problems. She had physical problems. She had a weak bladder. She had a blockage in her bowels and other complications. She said, would you believe my daughter is completely healed from all these infirmities? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And there's others we're praying for. Little Billy back there. I tell you what, I'm excited of what God, he's laid him on our hearts. And the little David boy here, and Jeremy and Bradley and another couple of churches. I tell you what, God is confirming his word with signs following. So all I'm trying to say, I'm trying to be quiet and not be emotional, because I tell you what, in all seriousness, God spoke to me here a week or two ago. We've been listening in our class to the reading of the book, The Final Quest. Ladies and gentlemen, the first part of it, it was over my head. It didn't do a lot for me. It's a real deep book, and there's a lot of symbolism. And I tell you what, these last 2 weeks has touched my heart. I'm here to tell you, we're receiving mightily of the Lord. I've received so much, I can't share it all. Can't even think of it all, but I'm so grateful for that. But as I've said before, it's for a reason. We're not being blessed just to get up and have a good time and go home and hoard and keep it to ourselves. But I tell you what, as I was hearing that book read, it, I tell you, the Holy Ghost convicted me. Saints, this is serious business. Serving the Lord is a lifestyle. It's a matter of life and death. And we must share. We must witness. We must get on the phone. We must tell everybody we meet about the love of God, about revival, and the fact that Jesus Christ is coming. It's a serious, serious matter. It really is. And as we were listening to that, I tell you what, I was amazed at, and again reminded that we're all going to stand before God. And we're going to give account of our actions and our reactions in during this revival. I mean, I'm talking about young and old alike. Our responses and what we're doing with this revival. I tell you what, as I read and I heard him sharing of how great men of God in this vision had gone to heaven, and yet we would think they had been in the upper echelon. They would have been in the top rank, and yet they were shown to be one of the lowest ranks in heaven. I thought, whoa, what's going on here? And it suddenly, and they said, and it dawned on us, another beggar, another man that we looked down upon, and they actually shunned him. This man shunned this man because he didn't have anything. He was a weak man, but he was saved. And in heaven, God showed that he was in the upper echelon. He was a kingly man in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, it opened my eyes, Brother John, to the realization, oh, it's a matter of our heart. We must have our hearts pure before God. We must search our hearts daily and to see why we're serving the Lord and if we're being that witness and why we're witnessing. I tell you what, Jesus is coming, and I'm excited. I don't know how long this revival is going to last as far as the evangelists. You know, I'm hoping it'll last till the Lord comes. But even if he has to go on, the revival is going to continue here at First Assembly. We're going to see souls saved, believers filled with the Holy Ghost, sick bodies healed. I just want to encourage you tonight, serve the Lord with all of your heart and do it with all of your might. And I tell you what, we'll see great and mighty works. God bless you.
That was a good word, man.
Praise God. Praise God. When I was a young boy growing up in church, my dad on Wednesday night would preach. And in teach preaching, he usually would get up, and when I was younger, he would say something like this. He would say, "Now, I'm not going to hold you very long tonight." And boy, I'd get so happy. I'm telling you, folks, I'd get so thrilled. And me and my brothers would look at each other, oh boy. But we learned that that didn't mean anything. After a while, he just... But I really feel like the Holy Spirit's given me something for you tonight. And I feel like on Wednesday nights, he's leading us into teach preaching. But I want to, for the next few moments, to talk about the emblems of the Holy Spirit. There are seven symbols of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And for years, I've known about the five. But the Holy Spirit has led us, as we have perused through Holy Writ, to find seven symbols or seven emblems of the Holy Spirit. There's only one kind of revival, and that's a Holy Ghost revival. And you don't have a revival without the Holy Ghost. I don't care what denominational tag there is on the revival. It's not a revival without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost brings revival. I don't want a Mississippi Squirrel revival. Amen. I don't want just emotion without devotion is commotion. Amen. And emotion without the Holy Ghost explosion is commotion. I want more than commotion, more than emotion. I want that explosion of Holy Ghost power. Ladies and gentlemen, our alma mater is Acts, the second division. And there we see the two eternal emblems of the Holy Spirit. Number one, we see wind. The Bible says the Holy Ghost came with a rushing, mighty wind. Jesus went up, the Holy Ghost came down, the disciples went out. One preacher said it like this. He said, there was a Holy Ghost hurricane. Didn't blow the building down, didn't blow the doors off, but blew the disciples right out the front door, and they were gone with the wind. Everybody say, gone with the wind. Somebody said, you know, there's not much to that. It'll blow over. And it did. It blew all over the world. And it's still blowing all over the world. Did you know tonight there are over 700 million Pentecostal people in the world, and people are receiving the Holy Ghost every day. The name over your church door don't mean beans. I'm telling you right now, you got a hungry heart. The Holy Ghost to come in, he'll take over, he'll feel, he'll thrill, seal. How many knows it's a Holy Ghost revival that's going to prepare us for the rapture? Number one, the wind came. You can't see. You can't see the wind, but you can feel and see the effects of the wind. The day of Pentecost, 120, their lives were changed. When the wind blows, sometimes it's a gentle blowing, and sometimes it's like a mighty whirlwind. The other night, last night, as I was preaching, it was a tight night. And there are those nights, and you don't know why. You go home, you pray, you say, Lord, why was there a struggle in delivery of the message? It seemed like as I was reaching for words, there was something blocking the words. I don't understand all I know about that. But I know there are nights that you're just in over your head and you're beside yourself and the flow is there. Last night it was a tight night. But as I walked out to go and start to pray with people, ladies and gentlemen, there was a wind that came and began to pick me up. And I have never, and I've been here now 23 weeks, I've never felt what I felt last night as I began to pray for people. We begin to just walk down the aisle. And as I came toward people, they begin to fall. In fact, as I would wave my hand, people would fall. It was like I was in a whirlwind. Blue was holding me up. I don't know who was holding him up. One time he just about fell. The glory was so heavy. It was so awesome. And I started moving toward one lady, and Gary wasn't behind her. And Gary's probably about the best catcher you can find, because he knows how to step over people without stepping on them. Amen. I mean, knows that's important. And I mean, he was tiptoeing. There was bodies everywhere. Now, if you were here last night, if you've been here through the revival, you know what I'm talking about. You've got to be very agile, and you've got to be able to maneuver, and it's a ministry to be able to keep people from falling on each other. But I looked, and as I moved toward a lady, she started to fall before I got to her, and I could barely stand up myself, and Blue was holding me up, and Gary was behind my wife, and my wife wasn't moving. And right there under the anointing, I got mad at my wife for standing in the way, and I started to say, move. She said, I can't. Found out later, her legs were so heavy under the glory, she couldn't move. I'm going to tell you something, folks. It's awesome when the wind of the Holy Ghost comes down and the glory takes over. Come on, give him a hand of praise. Last night was the night for me. I'm talking not in the pulpit. I just told you. Had a time with the flow of the words. But walking out there, I said, God, what in the world is going on? The wind of the Holy Spirit, that whirlwind. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You look and you see people falling, and some that don't fall receive just as much. And we don't seek one particular manifestation. But then you hear the testimonies of changed lives. Changed lives. I'm going to tell you, this is the greatest day to be alive, living for the Lord. The wind is still blowing. I said the wind is still blowing. And I want you to look at Ezekiel's vision. He saw Valley of dry bones. And the Bible says they were very dry. God asked him a question, and he threw it back in God's face. Can these bones live? Only you know. I've been in those churches. Amen. I've been there in those revivals. Can this church have a revival? Burn over, washed out? God, only you know. But I'm going to tell you, as he began to preach, as he began to move under that anointing, there was a shaking and a quaking and a waking, and a well-regimented, mighty, militant army of bones came together. But I want you to notice, there is the body, and there are the bones, but there's no breath. There is the body, there are the bones, but there's no breath. There's the body of organization. Never has the church been so finely tuned and well organized. The body of the organized structure of religion is awesome. It's massive across the nation and around the world. Then there's the bones of theological truth. And we brag about the upper echelons of academia and our theological seminaries and our colleges. We have the body of organization. We have the bones of theological truth. But I'm going to tell you some folks, if there's no breath, it is dead. I said, if there is no wind, it is dead. You may have a big church body and you may have a doctrine, but I'm going to tell you right now, sound doctrine will put people sound asleep without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I thank God for the Word, and I thank God for the preaching and the teaching of the Word. But I'm going to tell you, when Ezekiel stood and God said, prophesy unto the wind, he began to speak to the wind, and the wind began to blow. As the wind began to blow, then that army rose up. Then that army became a mighty force and a mighty power. The church of Jesus Christ needs more than the body of organization and the bones of theological truth. We need the wind of God to blow one more time until we rise up a hotbed of Holy Ghost power and a seedbed of gospel truth. Give him one more hand of praise tonight. Everybody say, gone with the wind. And that is the church. You go with that wind. He blows. You don't know where he leads. That's why, you see, this isn't my revival or pastor's revival or your revival. It's his. How many knows it's his revival? And you really can't see that wind. He told Nicodemus, Nick at night. He came at night. And he said, Nick, now I can't explain to you the new birth. But he said, neither can I explain the wind. But he said, you can see the results of the wind. And you see, that's what the new birth is all about. Born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, gone with the wind, led by the Holy Spirit of God. He's in charge of this revival as I move from week to week, from month to month. It is not a habit. It is not just routine or mundane or let's keep going because the crowds are there because this. No, 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 folks. Divine direction is the order of this revival. They that are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. I don't believe the revival is going to wane or dwindle. I agree with Brother Harlan. I don't believe it's going to diminish, but I believe we've got to be so sensitive to that wind. He may be wanting to say something new. In fact, I'm starting to feel right now that this thing needs to spread to Tulsa. It needs to go into Joplin and to Carthage and to Pittsburgh, Kansas. I don't know what's south of us, but I'm going to tell you, I've got a feeling there are auditoriums on every side of us that can seat 1,000 to 2,000 people. And wouldn't it be something on a Monday to Tuesday night or a Thursday and a Friday night? Instead of trying to bring 500 or 700 people here, we go there. And ladies and gentlemen, you see 2,000 people shaking and quaking and rocking and wired and fired and kicking and cooking under the wind of the Holy Ghost. Come on! I said, let's listen. The wind is abroad. The prayer team is ready. The choir is ready. A choir like this, the world needs to hear. It's more than talent and ability. There's an unction. There's an anointing. There's a wind that blows as they sing. God, what are you saying? I'm listening. I want you to listen. One of the emblems is the wind. And anytime we talk about an emblem, I believe that this has a great spiritual significance. For I believe the emblems speak of his nature and his working and the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. The wind. Look at Adam. All the parts are in place. The skeletal system. The digestive system, the reproductive system, hands, eyes, mouth, yet lifeless, listless. God gave him authority, but he couldn't move. But then God breathed into his nostrils. How many knows he became a breathing soul? Oh, God, would you breathe upon me? How many knows he's been breathing upon us for 23 weeks? But it's time for us to inhale what he exhales. I said, what God is exhaling, let's inhale. Let's breathe it in. He's breathing out. Let's breathe it in. We've got the body, and we've got the bones, we've got the structure, got the talent and ability in the choir, but it's still not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Let the wind blow. Ladies and gentlemen, the second emblem is fire. Everybody say fire. Tongues of fire set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 2 and 3. Our God is a consuming fire. Ezekiel saw the Lord, and from God's waist up and waist down, his appearance was as a flaming fire. Christ, his eyes are as a flaming fire. He condescended on Mount Sinai as a flaming fire. Elijah issued the challenge, let the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. You know the story. Prophets of Baal went through their incantations to no avail. Elijah stands, prays a 63-word prayer. The fire falls, and the people fall. God answered Elijah by fire. God answered Moses by fire. God answered the Israelites by fire. God answered Abraham by fire. God answered David by fire. God answered on the banks of Jordan by fire. God answered in the upper room by fire. God answered at Azusa Street by fire. God answered in Pensacola with a fire. God answered in Miami, Oklahoma with a fire. And if God comes down, how many knows there's a burning? I said there's a purging, there's a purification. Our God is a consuming fire. Lord, let the fire fall. Let the fire burn in our hearts and in our lives. Fire burns and shines. John the Baptist was a burning and a shining light. And you can't shine without burning. We've tried it, folks. We polish our education. We polish our abilities. We get the best of everything. But we spend all of our time trying to keep the rust and the dust off of our armors. We've traded the real for the synthetic and the artificial in a lot of arenas, a lot of areas. But we found out that we expend all of our energy just trying to shine. He didn't say, make your light shine. He said, let your light shine. John Wesley, the great Methodist pulpiteer, used to advertise. He said, I'm going to be set on fire. Come and watch me burn. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's what brings people. How many knows you don't have to advertise a fire? Have you ever noticed people saying, hey, there's a... No, you don't have to advertise it. You let something begin to burn, and people will come. They're attracted. Let a fire truck go by, and people will make a big illegal U-turn and try to follow that fire truck. There's something about a fire. I'm telling you right now, the First Assembly has been burning and shining for 23 weeks. Don't let the fire go out. Don't let it dwindle. Don't let it diminish. Let it increase in intensity. The glow of the glory is still upon us. But there's more. I said there's more. Get ready, get ready, get ready, folks. God has sent a fire that's not going to burn up or burn out. Vance Havner said, in our churches, there are a lot of big heads, dead heads, hard heads, hot heads. But what we need are hot hearts. Say amen, somebody. The Christians are like a turtle. You scream at that turtle, it pulls its head in its shell. Beat it on the shell, pulls its head back. It won't move buds. You can't do a thing. But you take a match. Try this. Light that match. Stick it on that turtle. It'll pull its head out, folks. It'll start moving, maybe not fast. You know Christians are like that. Amen. I've pastored churches. You can tell them what they need to do. Win the loss at any cost. People's going to hell. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. And you preach and you fast and pray till you pass away. But I'm telling you, when God lights a fire, I said, when God puts a fire under us, how many knows it's going your soul and pep in your step and unction in your gumption and glory in your story and a spark in your heart. Come on, let the fire burn at First Assembly. Hallelujah. Our God is a consuming fire. Ladies and gentlemen, at Azusa Street. Now listen, you may not believe this. Three services a day, lasted 3.5 years. People came from all over the world. They didn't look at the crowds. There was the cloud. There was the fire. True story. One time, there were some people that called firemen because it appeared that the building was on fire. The glory of God was so bright, illuminated, that they actually called the firemen thinking that the building was on fire. Well, I'm going to tell you, wouldn't it be something? We're in the red hot heat of Holy Ghost revival on a Monday or Tuesday. We hear a siren, it gets closer, it gets louder, and suddenly they come running in here. They come running in here with their ladders and their axes, and they get in here, and the glory hits them. They get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Emblems of the Holy Spirit. The third emblem is water. Say water. The Bible says there is a river, and Jesus said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers. There's one main stream, but there are a lot of inlets and tributaries. There's a lot of little rivers that are flowing out that main river that is coming to America. I believe, and we believe, that God has visited America one last time before the coming of the Lord. We believe that that river anointing came into Pensacola, Brownsville Assembly of God Church. I've been there. I've told you, at Ferry Pass Assembly, I literally felt something hit my leg. And I turned to look and see what it was. And God said, I just wanted you to know that that invisible river is here. And I thought, wow, isn't that something? Never saw it with my eyes, but God let me know that it is here. There's a river anointing that's in the church. And that river anointing, folks, is carrying us into the presence of God. Every night before I don this podium and open God's word and begin to declare the unsearchable riches, when Pastor comes, and I feel so good flowing with Pastor and Jerry, and there's a flow in this revival. And if people are not in the flow, it's very noticeable. It's very detectable, because it's not about me or Pastor or Jerry or about you. It's about the glory of the Lord. Amen. It's not about talent. It's about the glory of the Lord. And when Pastor comes and he says, after Jerry has led us into the presence of God, he says, lift your hands and worship the Lord. The glory of God comes on me and I feel led the Holy Spirit. Here's what I pray. I begin to move my hand across the building and I say, I remove all obstructions in the name of Jesus, and I bring my hand around to the choir. I set you free in Jesus' name, and I bless you with divine impartation, and I release that river anointing to carry you into the presence of God, and I release the people to be carried by that river anointing. There's not a doubt in my mind what's going to happen. It's not hope so, maybe so. I'm not in a bind tonight. I know what's going to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, the heavens have been open above this campus for 23 weeks. In a few moments, that river's going to pick you up if you'll let it. It's going to carry you into a new dimension of God, freshness and freedom and fullness. You're going to discover it's more than religion. It's more than Assembly of God thing. It's a God thing. It's the last day outpouring before the appearing. Get ready. The river is flowing. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, it's awesome what God is doing. Water. Where would we be without water? The river that cleanses, that refreshes. The river that purifies, rivers of living water. To expedite time, I want to go on. I want to move to the fourth symbol or the fourth emblem. It's a dove. Matthew 3:16. As John the Baptist baptized Yeshua HaMashiach in Jordan's muddy, murky river, fell his lot to do so. His father was the high priest. Jesus came to fulfill the law. Zacharias, if you will, the priestly succession fell upon John the Baptist. And so Jesus said, it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. You don't understand this, John, but I want you to baptize me. And John took him under. When he came up, a dove with tiny pink feet condescended, landed upon his shoulder, and God thundered, this is my boy, and I'm proud of him. The dove was there. Matthew 3, Luke chapter 3. The dove, a type of the Spirit of God. It speaks of gentleness. It speaks of brooding. In the void, formless darkness of the earth's pre-creation, the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. The Hebrew meaning gives the thought of incubation. The Spirit like a dove hatching, creation, light, plant, animal life. Where the Spirit is, ladies and gentlemen, there is life in your visions, your dreams, your hopes. There's incubation. The Spirit of God is like a dove. He seeks. The dove that Noah sent from the ark returned to him the third time. And I love the analogy that one great preacher used. The third time that the dove went out, the dove kept on a flying and just kept on a flying. Flew over Abraham, looked down. Good man, not good enough. Kept on a flying. Kept on a flying, flew down, looked down, saw Moses backside of the desert. Good man, not good enough. Just kept on a flying. Flew down, saw David, wanted to land on him. Good man, not good enough. Kept on a flying. But he came down to Jordan's muddy, murky river. Looked down, saw the Son of God. God said, that's him. And he condescended, landed upon his shoulders. And ladies and gentlemen, we've never been the same. How many knows? The dove that landed on Jesus Christ is landed upon the body of Christ. I said, it's the body of Christ. The gentle, sweet, Holy Spirit is still here. He's not just a rushing, mighty wind and a gushing, furious fire. He's a sweet, gentle, wooing and breathing and brooding. He is a wonderful presence. And I'm going to tell you, I want him to minister to me tonight. Lift your hands and just love him as the dove settles on the body of Christ. Hallelujah. 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 The dove is a symbol of peace. It's a symbol of comfort. Dove mates for life. It's a gentle relationship. The dove is very gentle, but will fight if their young or their mate is threatened. The Holy Spirit will fight for the body of Christ. I said the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you right now, when I said the dove comes for a lifetime, mates for a lifetime, the Holy Ghost isn't given to you for you to lose. God's not he's not the kind of a person that will give you something then take it back. How many knows? The Holy Spirit is yours. He will abide with you forever. If you lose him, it's because you turn him away. Some weeks ago, I came out here, I believe it was a Sunday night, and I saw the dove flying all over the building. I literally felt that in my spirit. God was grieved. The sweet, mild, meek gentleness of the Holy Spirit could not land on the body that night, and I stood here and I said, there's sin in the camp, there's sin in the camp. Didn't know what I was talking about, but God does. Gave the altar call, and like every other night, people responded. I felt a breaking. I felt a time of melting, a time of just pliability and yieldness in the presence of God. Ladies and gentlemen, don't ever lose that. Don't become mechanic. I said, don't become mechanical. Don't become so orchestrated that the dove flies away. I can tell when the dove's flying over the building. I'm preaching his heart. I'm singing his heart. It's a tight night. There are things going on. But when the people of God are humbling themselves and hungering after God in one man, one voice, one mind, how many knows the sweetness and the peaceableness and the gentleness of the Holy Spirit is there? We need him. I said, we need him tonight. The most sought after thing in the world is peace. Conference tables are filled. People seeking peace. How many knows he's the Spirit of peace? He is the dove. He's the dove. The Holy Spirit. I can't accentuate enough the importance of being sensitive to him as I'm preaching tonight. I've got a message. I've got notes. I'm going somewhere. No, I'm not. He's leading. He's guiding. He wants us to rest in his presence. When I pray for people, the tenseness is there. The fear, I remove it in Jesus' name. And all of a sudden, the yieldedness, you can feel it. You don't have to fall. There's nobody pushing you. It's not in the falling, folks. It's in the yielding. I want to say that again. It's not in the falling. It's not in the shaking. It's not in the weeping. It's not in the laughing. It's in the yielding to the Holy Spirit. And when you yield, you may fall. You may not. You may weep. You may not. You may laugh. You may not. You may manifest the presence of God some other way. But regardless how you manifest the presence of God, he comes in you and on you because you are yielded. And the degree that you're hungry is the degree that you'll be filled. Some of you that are worried, some of you that have animosity, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. Some of you that have junk in you and you're not letting God take it out, that dove flies around you. And there are times you feel intermittently the peace of God. But I'm telling you, if you'll repent and submit, how many knows he will dwell with you forever. He mates for life. Lift your hands and say, Jesus, fill me with your presence tonight. Fill me with your presence tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The oil of gladness. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Shall be anointed with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Five foolish virgins took no oil. The Good Samaritan poured in the oil and the wine. Oil symbolic of the Holy Spirit. There again, I believe the emblem, I believe it's characteristic of certain works and certain graces that the Holy Spirit brings. Oil lubricates, eliminates friction. Oil in the car helps the car to run. Oil in the lamp helps the lamp to shine. Ladies and gentlemen, we need the oil of the Holy Spirit. The fire of purging, the wind of power, the river of cleansing, the oil of lubrication, the dove of gentleness. We need all of what he is and what he does. And these seven, and seven is the number of heaven, the number of God, the number of completion. These seven emblems of the Holy Spirit are seven characteristics of God. I thank God for the oil. I had a dream this morning. In the dream, there was two ladies that were into it. And these two ladies that were into it was grieving the Holy Spirit. The dove was flying. It was ladies in leadership. It was ladies in prayer. Ladies who weren't getting along, and the Holy Spirit was grieved. And as I begin to come out of that dream, the Holy Spirit begin to show me that the oil will bring a lubrication that will eliminate that friction, and as people will just bathe in the presence of God, the oil will fill your life, and the oil is so awesome. It's called the oil of gladness, not the oil of sadness. How many knows it's not vinegar oil? How many knows it's the anointing oil? It's a charisma. It's an unguent that is rubbed in. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, for every function, there's an unction. Amen. And for every appointment, there's an anointment. Amen. And God says, I'm going to anoint you. I'm going to take away the friction. Things are going to run smooth. This is a big church. This is a great revival. The massive tentacles are going out across a four-state area. In the middle of it all, the devil would like to bog us down. Where there is friction, where there is a sense of not getting along and not working together. But when the oil flows, that's gone. I said, that is gone. How many knows the oil of the Holy Spirit can help us run smoothly? I said, the church of Jesus Christ can make it through the anointing oil of gladness. When I woke up, God said, I will anoint you with oil. He said, oil lubricates. He said, oil, when I pour the oil, everybody say, pour the oil. Not just a dab, or not just a mist or a dewdrop or a drizzle. He said, I will pour the anointing oil upon you. And he said that anointing oil will make it hard for Satan to handle you. Amen. He'll try to get a hold of you, but you'll slip through his hands. And he will... Now, this is in the wee morning hours, folks. And all of a sudden, I had this tremendous vision of us just being oiled down and greased with the unction and the unguent of the Holy Spirit rubbed in and the oil all over us. And the devil reaches out to squeeze us, and we pop out of his hands. Amen. And he squeezes, and we keep on popping. And we're popping all over the church. And the devil can't get a hand on us. Come on, folks. I said the oil of the Holy Spirit will make us slip right out of the devil's traps. Give the Lord a hand of praise. And I'm telling you something, folks, that dream was so awesome. And it was so humorous, because when I came to, I thought, devil, we're just so greased, you're not going to be able to get a hand on us. Amen. And the more these trials squeeze us, we just keep on popping and popping and popping. I'll just keep saying that tonight, because that thrilled me this morning. I woke my wife up, and I told her about it. And she looked at me like I was loose in the caboose. Would you shut up? I still think that she thinks it was the pizza that caused me to have that dream. But no, folks. I'm telling you, God showed me that the devil cannot squeeze us. He can't get a hold of us because of the anointing oil that's upon our lives. If you want that oil, lift your hands and begin to praise him. Father, we want all of the Holy Ghost. We want all of the Holy Ghost. Fill our lives and flood our souls. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. These are the five emblems of the Holy Spirit. And most of the time in preaching this message, and it's been many, many years since we preached it, probably 18 years ago we ministered on this subject, but Holy Spirit showed us that even though five is the number of grace, there are seven emblems. And the sixth emblem is the seal. It's found in Ephesians 1:13. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The U.S. Steel only places its seal on that it makes and on that it approves. Ladies and gentlemen, when God remakes you and God approves your life, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, that seal may not mean much to you, and you may be reveling in the river, and you may be rejoicing in the oil and shouting because of the fire and the wind and the dove. But I'm going to tell you right now, that seal upon you, 777 in your head, you may not even see it. But how many knows the devil sees it? And the devil reaches out to touch you. God says, no, no, he's mine. She's mine. Holy Ghost says, no, no. God told me one time, said, my spirit monitors the body of Christ at all times. And son, you may feel like you're alone because you don't feel the fire. But rest assured, I have sealed you. I have got my angels guarding you. I will send them if the devil tries to come against you. The angels will intercept the devil because the monitoring, brooding, breathing presence of the Holy Spirit. How many knows that's why we need a Holy Ghost revival? The angels are flying. I said, the glory is here. And the devil looks and oh, how he wants to destroy us. But you know, seal is not just the approval, because God said, I have made you and I have approved you and you are mine. But a seal is to keep the spoilage out and to keep the freshness in. When my mom were to seal those jars on the pickles and some of the things she had canned, you know what? There was a seal that was so tight that there'd be no spoilage come in and the freshness would not leave. And I don't care how many days afterwards you were to sit down to eat. Gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, the Holy Spirit will keep the freshness of this experience. You don't need to worry that God is going to pull this back and say, I've given you enough. If you want Him, you can have just as much of God as you want. I said, get ready, folks. There's more. I said, there's more on the horizon. I know you're revived. I said, I know you're revived, but you haven't arrived. How many knows there's more? I said, there's more. There's more. There's more. Give Him a hand of praise. I got those words from Johnny Johnson. Amen. You're revived, but you haven't arrived. Amen. He didn't know that I got that from him, but I got them from his wife because she got them from him. Amen. How many knows? You just got to know how to... We're all revived. What do you do with it? Well, you haven't arrived yet, folks. We all know that. So let's just open to the Holy Spirit. There's more. I said there's more. The seal. I could spend a whole message on each one of these emblems. I want to go to number 7, the wine, the refreshing, the wine. Jesus talked about new wineskins to hold the new wine. Be not drunk with wine when it is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we preach that first part, hot, hard, and heavy, strict, straight, and strong. I'm telling you right now, folks, we preach against being drunk with alcohol. And if you see somebody on the corner that goes to this church and they're drunk, it makes you fight mad. You'll throw a rip, snort, conniption fit, get the preacher out of bed at 3 o'clock in the morning to tell on that person that's drunk on the corner. I'm going to tell you what makes God mad. To see you standing on the corner without the Holy Ghost. Amen. Come on, say amen, somebody. Now, the same intensity that we preach against alcoholic, intoxicating beverages, how many knows we need to preach for being filled with the Holy Ghost, because the alternative to not being drunk with wine is to be drunk with new wine. Amen. If you're standing on the corner without the Holy Ghost, it makes me mad. It makes God mad. You say, do I need the Holy Ghost to go to heaven? You need the Holy Ghost to go to the grocery store. I said, you need the Holy Ghost to go to the ball game. You need the Holy Ghost to go to work. You need the Holy Ghost to go to school. I said you need the Holy Ghost every day, all the way. Great God, fill us. Fill us with that new wine of the Holy Spirit. We'll give Him a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to be seated tonight, and I could spend a lot of time on each of those emblems. But the bottom line, when the Holy Spirit came, God said, I want you to be filled. And if you're full, one drop would make you run over. The Greek vernacular, if you'll read the original Greek rendering, being filled, a continual infilling, the inflow guarantees an outflow. And an overflow. And He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. The inflow guarantees an outflow and an overflow. You're born of the Spirit to receive Jesus. You're baptized in the Spirit to release Jesus. Well, I'm going to say that again because nobody said amen. You're born of the Spirit to receive Jesus. You're baptized in the Spirit to release Jesus. We're revived. What do we do? Harlan said it. What a go. Take it to people. Come on, let's share it. It's Holy Ghost revival. Right now, God's talking to me, and I'm not hearing everything clear. I've got to tune in, and I'm waiting on Him. And I told Cheryl after I talked to Pastor about the bulletin, you know, we're going another month. I said, wait, let's listen to the Holy Spirit. What's He saying? What's He saying, folks? What's the Holy Ghost saying right now when He's not talking? I'm seeking His face. After a service the other night, I laid right here on the floor. And by the way, let me share this with you. A lot of questions have come in, maybe not from you, but from people from the four-state area. Say, why does He put on that overcoat? You know, why does He take off His coat and put on that big overcoat? Folks, there's special anointing in that coat. Boy, some of you are smarter than I thought. Amen. You know, somebody really asked. I think asked Drenda or Harlan, said, Is that the mantle? Is there anointing in that coat? No. You know, folks, it's very simple. You know, the doctor, because of sweating, you know, and you get so wet with sweat, the best thing you can do is take the wet clothes off, put dry clothes on, because if you don't, the cool air hits your shoulders. You have pneumonia the next day. And so the doctor told us to just put on an overcoat until we could get some dry clothes on. But, you know, I want you to just tell everybody there's a special coat you need to see. And, I mean, there is an unction. You know, sometimes you just feel like you don't have to answer these kind of questions, but I guess maybe you do. Amen. Where was I? Anyway, folks. The Holy Spirit is leading us, and God's trying to speak to us. And God's saying, I want your body to become executive world missions headquarters for my spirit. I will fill you with the Holy Ghost. I will lead you by my spirit. Do you need the Holy Ghost to go to heaven? If I don't have the Holy Ghost, preacher, will it keep me out of the rapture? I believe what keeps you from receiving the Holy Ghost can keep you out of the rapture. Lack of hunger, lack of desire, secret sin. You think you can do it without the Holy Ghost? Jesus couldn't do it without the Holy Ghost. Are you greater than your master? I'm telling you something, folks. Everybody here needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Everybody here needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about taking me to a place and telling me a time. I'm telling you right now, God wants to give you the fire of purging, the wind of power, the river of cleansing, the oil of lubrication, the dove of gentleness, the seal of approval, and the wine of satisfaction. Lift your hands and praise Him for just a few moments. Lift your hands and praise Him for just a few moments. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise Him for just 15 seconds. I believe the Holy Spirit wants me to have you praise Him. Just praise Him, just praise Him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise Him, church, praise Him, praise Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The first physical evidence, they spake with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. Three times, says it emphatically. The other two times, infers it greatly. I believe that speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance is the first initial physical evidence. But there are many evidences. Everybody say many. The first spiritual evidence, there's a boldness. There's a sense of wanting to share Jesus. If you don't have that, folks, I'm telling you, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. There's a mental evidence. How many knows? He'll give you a sound mind. He'll give you peace that passeth all understanding. There's a domestic evidence. There'll be love in your family because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. There'll even be a financial evidence. How many knows a drunk man will give you everything? Come on, shout amen, somebody. You get the Holy Ghost, you'll pay your tithe, you'll give Him the offering. Come on, I'm telling you. He's the Spirit that will touch every aspect and area of your life. Folks, He's real. I said He's real. Heard this story, true story. The man had been trying to get the banker to come to church because he needed a loan to build the big, beautiful building he wanted to build. And finally, the banker came in. The banker belonged to another denomination. And so the preacher was hoping that the service would impress him. There'd be nothing disruptive or distractive, and the banker would be impressed, go up the next week and get the loan. The service went good. The talent was great. But right in the middle of the service, ladies and gentlemen, Sister Smith got up to sing. And as she sang, the glory of the Lord came on her, and she began to feel the Holy Ghost. Now, I was raised in these kind of services. My dad's a preacher, and the fondest memories I have, folks, and I cherish these memories, are what we would call blessed interruptions. When the Holy Ghost would just take over. And I'm telling you, we lived for those services. Number one, we knew there'd be no preaching. And so we just didn't like long-winded preachers, do you? But anyway, we lived for these services. And all of a sudden she began to sing. The Holy Ghost began to move. And he said, oh, no. Banker sat there, kind of looked, red face, but he looked. And then another saintly sister began to dance before the Lord, began to shout in the presence of God. And then old Brother Smith got so blessed that he began to run. Now, have you ever seen anybody run in a service? I'm telling you some folks, if you've been around Pentecost long, you've seen it all, but I've seen it. And as he began to run, he got so drunk on the Holy Ghost, it was a blessed interruption. The Holy Ghost took over. People shouting, praising God. I believe God has a sense of humor. I believe God sometimes wants to burst our bubble and just diffuse our pride. And the preacher was sitting there in a bind. A royal bind. He thought, oh no. And about that time, he saw Brother Smith shouting, getting over close to that banker. Amen. And he got right there close to that banker, and he reached out, didn't know him from Adam, but reached out, touched him on the shoulder, and said, bless God, brother, you need what I got. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And just kept on shouting. And the preacher said, oh no. I've run my chances. The next morning, before he got out of bed, the phone rang. It was the banker. He said, I want to tell you, I don't know that brother's name, but he said, when he touched me and told me, you need what I got, I felt a charge. And I want you to know, I need what he has. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how many knows that everybody in this town, the mayors, the bankers, the politicians, the school, they need this refreshing that has come to First Assembly. It's revival time. Stand to your feet and give him a hand of praise. Come on, give him a hand of praise. Come on, brother, you need what I got tonight. You need what I got tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory. Miami needs what we've got tonight. Don't try to impress anybody. The glory has come to the church. The dove is a-flying. The wind is a-blowing. The rivers are flowing. The fire is a-burning. The oil is filling our lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Lift your hands and praise him all over this auditorium. Lift your hands and praise him. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Pour in the oil and the wine. I need that fresh anointing. I need that fresh anointing, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you something, folks. I was so thrilled this morning when I woke up and I saw us just slipping out of the devil's hands. Just oiled. And he would think he had us, and he would squeeze. And see, the harder he squeezes, how many knows, the more oil you have, you're just going to pop out further. Amen. And I saw people popping all over this place, anointed with the oil. I was so excited. Woke my wife up, told her about it. She looked at me like I was crazy, turned back over, went to sleep. But I'm telling you something, folks, it's real. The oil is real. I said the oil of gladness. All of these emblems speak of his nature, their significance. There's seven symbols. Fire of purging, wind of power, river of cleansing, oil of lubrication, dove of gentleness, seal of approval, wine of satisfaction. Listen to me, folks. As I close, here's the warning. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Quench not the Holy Spirit. Vex not the Holy Spirit. Blaspheme not the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't mean your shoes for your socks if you're attributing the works of God to Satan. I want you to listen to me, folks. For 23 weeks, it's the most awesome thing I've seen in my life. And as I went down through there last night, and I couldn't stand up, and dear God, I thought, whoa, what in the world? I've never felt this in 23 weeks. And people started falling, and you could see the glow of glory on their face as they would just lay in the presence of God. I felt led of the Lord to tell our friends from Chautauqua, Kansas, the Withrows. Some 20 years ago, I preached a four-week revival there. Bucky was just a young boy, young preacher boy. He's pastor now, and I didn't recognize him at first, but I talked with him the other day. Church has gone through tremendous things, tremendous trouble. But I saw him and her, and as I started moving, I called them out. And as they came out and stood there, laid hands, and they both went down together, hands joined, and laid there in the presence of God. And I'm going to tell you what happened, folks. They didn't have to tell me. God began to set them free from worry, began to set them free from fear, began to refresh their lives. And I believe Chautauqua Assembly of God is going to experience a great revival. I said, I believe it's going to experience a great revival. Here's how you grieve the Holy Spirit. If there's anger, wrath, clamor, evil speaking, if there is animosity, enmity between you, a sister, a brother, that grieves the dove. That's found in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind, say kind, one to another, forgiving, say forgiving, one another. I'm telling you some folks, that dove will fly all over this building. If you start fighting, don't do it. I had a dream last night. In the dream, there was two ladies into it. I'm going to tell you right now, the Holy Spirit is going to convict and God's going to convince. If there's somebody that you got feelings against, repent and the dove will come. The Holy Spirit will light upon us. You grieve the Spirit of God when there's friction. I know that feeling, folks. I've been in the ministry 21 years. I've done many a podium, and I thought, dear God, I'd rather be preaching from a flop-eared mule in the desert than to be here this morning. And I didn't know what was going on, but he did. The dove wasn't even in the building, because you had three sides, three groups, split and splintered under the same roof. We need to repent. Say amen, somebody. Quench not the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5. You quench the Holy Spirit when you're disobedient to God. You don't worship. The fire falls and you put it out with your cold attitude. You give God a cold shoulder. You just kind of put a cold hand. I'll tell you something, folks. I'd rather hug a rattlesnake than do that. And I've done that before, and I've repented. How many knows God wants us to repent tonight? Vex not the Holy Spirit. It's found in the book of Acts. Lot was vexed by the filthy conversation of the people around him. When you are around and associated with people that are telling lewd, rude, crude jokes, and they permeate the atmosphere with obscenities and vulgarities, the ghost in you is a Holy Ghost. I mean, knows what I'm saying. And he is vexed. I'm telling you something. That's why there's a line of separation, point of demarcation. And you need to realize that we're to go win them, but we're not to associate with their sins. And don't blaspheme him. Now, I'm going to tell you, we talk a lot about blaspheming. There are those that say it's more of an attitude than it is an act. I believe it's both. But any way you look at it, when you start attributing the work of God to the work of Satan, you're on dangerous ground. You place yourself outside of the reach of God's hand and God's voice. You're cold, carnal, calloused, and there's no other way to be saved except by the wooing, winning presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, God spoke to me this morning and said there are some in this revival that haven't got in. 23 weeks, 24 weeks now. Awesome. I'm telling you right now, folks, I crawl on my hands and knees through broken glass and say, if it's my preaching, I apologize if I hurt your feelings. But you see, it's not my preaching. It's not my personality. It's not leadership. It's a cold heart that's not hungry for God. And they're uncomfortable in the moving of the Holy Spirit. And they're not open. What are they going to say? What are you going to say? What are you going to say if you're here tonight and I'm preaching and the dove is flying and the Holy Spirit is moving in his fullness and you sat there with animosity, with sin, with a sense of satisfaction and carnality? What are you going to say when you stand before God? You're going to be speechless. You're going to blush with embarrassment. You're going to fall on your face and beg, but it's too late then. How many knows this is the day of the Holy Spirit and the day of the Lord is at hand? Bow your head and close your eyes. Jesus, I just ask you right now, Holy Spirit, circle this auditorium, breathe and brood over this audience. I break the bondage, shatter the shackles. I remove all obstructions. I release the glory. I release the anointing. I release the presence of the Holy Spirit now to move upon us in Jesus' name. Nobody moving around. John Davis, God is showing me something in me that hurts the Holy Ghost. It could be lack of hunger, quenching, grieving, vexing. And I hope to God that nobody here has blasphemed or will blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Because the finest messages and the greatest glory in this world can't reach you once you say no and say that's the devil and you walk away from God. If you're moving that direction because of quenching and grieving, and that's the direction, it begins with grieving and quenching and vexing, but it ends up with blasphemy. John Davis, God is showing me something in me that hurts the Holy Ghost. It could be animosity toward a sister or brother. I sat down the other day to watch the television, and the Spirit of God within me was vexed, and I became the most miserable person, miserable, and didn't know why. And the television, it wasn't anything rank that I can recall, but yet you don't know because you're flipping those channels, and Hollywood, California's vomiting in your living room, in the motel room. People jumping from bed to bed, demon possessed. I'm telling you something, folks. All I know is, I said, Deb, it can never be like it used to be. The TV's got to stay off. I go home tonight. I watch the Bill Gaither videos. and the glory of the Lord fills the room. I unwind watching the Bill Gaither videos. It's awesome, the presence of God. I don't want to offend the dove. He's here tonight. If you want Him to stay on you, you must yield to Him. This is not hype. No force or coercion. John Davis, I know there's more, but God tells me I'm grieving Him and I'm hurting Him and I need to repent. If I'm talking to you tonight, put your pride in the pew. You got pride, that dove flies. He's humble. He's gentle. He can't stand around that satanic spirit of arrogance. Haughtiness scares Him. Humble yourself now. My God, I just felt the glory. Humble your heart right now in Jesus' name. Please, nobody move. Nobody look around. I want you to be honest, John Davis. God showed me something in me that hurts the Holy Ghost. And I want God to take it out. I'm going to humble myself and acknowledge and admit and submit and repent if I'm talking to you. Put your right hand in the air right now. Put it up high in Jesus' name. Hands are going up all over the building. In the back, in the front. Once you raise it, put it back down. The Holy Spirit's moving right now in Jesus' name. I'm going to wait quietly. I feel that dove. It's so sweet. A few moments ago, I felt Him light on my shoulder. That's the only way I can explain it. Wonderful peace and presence of God. You lifted your hand all over this auditorium, but I'm going to wait because there are others. God told me there is. Grieving, vexing, quenching the Holy Ghost. God, I want the oil, the fire, the wind, the water, the dove, the seal, the wine. I want it all. I want it all, Lord. I want the fullness. If you lifted your hand, don't do it again, but if you haven't, John Davis, God is showing me junk in my life that grieves Him. Too much television. Not a hunger after Him. The holiness is not there. I looked at my wife this morning as I sat in the chair and I cried like a baby. And I said, Deb, help me live a holy life. Let's stay holy. I said, together, let's plead for the holiness of God. For the glory falls on holiness. He's a ghost called holy. He's a Holy Spirit. Jesus. John, I haven't lifted my hand, but God has shown me sin and junk in my life. And I need to get it out. Pray for me. Put your hand up right now. Put it up high in Jesus' name. God sees the hands that are going up. Others, others. I'm waiting. God moves by His Spirit in this place. In this place. That's what I've been feeling, Jerry. That's what I've been feeling, Pastor. That's what I've been telling you guys. Let's get together and say, Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying? So the crowds are coming. So the altars are filling up. He's wanting to speak. He's wanting to tell us something about April. He's wanting to tell us something. Oh, God, we hear your voice. We wait in your presence. If you lifted your hand the first or second time, quickly, quietly, get out of your seat and come and stand right here in front of me. Hurry. Don't wait a second. Run down here tonight. Right here in front of me. Come as close as you can. Others will join you. You lifted your hand. Just come and stand with your hands in the air welcoming the sweet, gentle, mild, meek, tender, lovely dove of the Holy Spirit. We need the oil. We need that fresh anointing. Oh, yes. If God deals with you, get out of your seat and come on down. If God pulls you out of your seat, come on down. If God pulls you out of your pew, come on. You know His leading. Jesus. Some of you tonight are so dry. You're so dry in your soul. And you know it. And if you're hungry for fresh oil, John, I'm dry. I need that fresh anointing. Get out of your seat right now and come. And stand here from the fountain. If you're not hungry, God's not going to fill you. He can't. I need fresh anointing. I need fresh anointing.
seek
Sing it again, Jerry, one more time as others come. Pour on. Oh, yes. I need a fresh anointing.
Open up your heart.
Yes. From the fountain that brings new life to those who seek your face. Others are coming. Sing it one more time. Do you need a fresh oil? If you need a fresh anointing, leave your seat and come.
Fresh anointing.
Open up
your heart.
Oh yes, from the fountain.
This brings new life to those who seek your face.
Pour on. One last time, then we're going to worship and pray. Pour on the oil. Jesus,
I need a fresh anointing. Open up your heart and flow from the fountain which brings new life to those who see
your face. From the fountain, sing it from the fountain.
From the fountain which brings new life to those who seek your face.
From the fountain, sing it.
It's from the fountain which brings new life to those who seek your face.
Everybody, lift your hands and sing it one more time. Pour on the oil.
Pour on the oil.
Sing the song, saints.
Need a fresh anointing. Open up your heart and
Lord,
which brings new life to those who see your face.
Pour on from the fountain one last time.
From the fountain which brings new life to those who see your face.
Slip your hands to heaven and just praise Him right now. Just praise Him. There's nothing that'll take the place of waiting in His presence. You've got to create that atmosphere for that dove to feel comfortable in. It's the atmosphere of a humble, hungry heart that just waits in His presence. The slightest carnal movement scares Him away. The slightest carnal gesture hurts Him and frightens Him. Create that atmosphere through your worship and your praise tonight, church. This is not an assembly line. We're not running people through to touch them. No, we're waiting in His presence for the glory, for the oil. I'm telling you, God is moving in this place tonight. God is moving in this place tonight. Jesus, we love you, Savior. We love you, Savior. We love you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Jesus, we praise you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy is your name. Holy is your name. Hallowed be thy name. Jesus, Jesus. With your hands in the air, say these words, dear Jesus. I'm hungry. I want your presence. I want your Holy Spirit. Not a thing, but a person. I want you in your fullness. All that you are, I receive. If there is anything in my life that would grieve you, quench your spirit, vex your Holy Ghost, forgive me. I repent in Jesus' name. Take away all sins, bitterness, animosity. Set me free. Help me, Lord, to receive right now the fullness, the freshness, the freedom, the fire of your purging, the wind of your power, the river of your cleansing, the oil of lubrication, the dove of gentleness, the wine of satisfaction, and the seal of approval. Approved of God. Thank you, Father, for the anointing. Rub it in. Pour it on. In Jesus' name. Tonight, fill me full. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now lift your hands. Don't clap your hands. Just lift your hands. Jesus' name. I just bless you right now with an anointing, with a freshness, with the freedom of the Holy Spirit. I bless you with a new anointing, a fresh anointing. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Jesus, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. If you're a prayer team member and you're hungry and you know that you need impartation, I want you to stay where you're at, but I want the rest of the prayer team to join me on the platform tonight. My God, I just feel tonight that we need to lay hands upon people. Just feel tonight we need to lay hands on people. Jesus, prayer team members, after you lay hands on people, I want you to lay hands on each other. In just two more nights, 1,000 to 1,500 people possibly will be coming from all over, hungry, hungry. It's not a manufacturing assembly line, not a robot that can get up and just spit out words and produce. He's a Holy Ghost. He's a sweet, gentle presence. He's so wonderful. He's so wonderful. Just go ahead and wait on Him tonight. You see, John Davis is in no hurry. When that oil comes on you, the devil can't even handle you. Go ahead and wait on Him. I feel there's a deep, deep work of the Holy Spirit going on tonight. It's the sobbing of a hungry soul. I know the sound. My God, if you're here tonight, you've driven miles and you know there's more and you want fresh anointing, get out in the aisle and just wait there. I don't care how long it takes tonight. We're going to lay hands and we're going to pray. Usually by Wednesday night, I'm so tired, I'm so fatigued, I look forward to a day or two of rest. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is that rest. There is a rest to the people of God. There is a rest. Laying on the couch won't give it to you. Laying in the bed won't give it to you. but a night in the glory, a night in the spirit. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sing it one more time, Jerry. Pour on the oil. Pour on.